Welcome to Today's Issues, offering a Christian response to the issues of the day. Here's your host, Tim Wildman, President of the American Family Association.
All right. Good morning, everybody. Welcome to Today's Issues on American Family Radio. This is February the 13th. All right. I'm warning you. I'm telling you. You got a day. February the 13th. So, right?
That's right. Tomorrow is the 14th.
Says Ed Battagliano. Good morning, Ed.
Good morning. Oh, I asked you because you looked right at me and you
I
said,
did.
Right?
Yeah. I did because I know the kind of romantic you are.
Oh, I'm a romantic. I asked tomorrow. Diane. Is the anniversary? I asked my wife to marry me on Valentine's Day.
It's Valentine's Day. Yeah, that's what it's called.
That's right.
Yeah. On Valentine's Day, what year was that, Ed?
That was 1981, Tim.
You asked her?
I did.
Okay.
Yeah. And what'd she say?
I'll get back with you.
As a year later,
she did turn me down the first two times I asked her out on dates. I'll say that. But by the time it was time, by the time we went out to the reunion. Tower, the restaurant, right. Up on the ball Dallas. There in Dallas, she said yes.
Oh. Okay. Wow, you're pretty brave going for number three, third time.
Well, third time I asked her out on a date, she said yes.
That's what I'm saying, yeah. After two no's.
So I have a question. Oh, yeah. Do you buy two set of flowers or just one for you celebrate your anniversary and Valentine's down the same
day? This is going to sound strange. My wife, she says, don't buy me flowers. She said, they die. Give me the money.
Smart.
That is so 80, heartwarming right 80, there.
That is 35 years.
That sounds like a man.
35
like
years.
A husband response.
35 just, years of marriage. That's, you know.
Give me the money.
Give me the money.
She figured it out.
I'll buy it. She really does. She's always said that. She says, flowers are nice. Right. I'd rather have the money to go spend it on something I want.
Right. Smart.
Yeah. Very romantic.
Yeah.
Walker Wildman over there questioning his senior by 30 years, about who's been married.
I'm not telling you to take my advice, brother. So you do
Walker's
what you think
been married
is
a
right.
Year and a half, or a year and 3 months, and he's already given
I
advice.
I will say this, that I keep saying that, but
be careful.
You got to be careful. My father-in-law, who has gone on to his eternal reward, but for his anniversary 1 year, got my mother-in-law, this was long before I knew him, a floor buffer.
No,
for their anniversary.
No.
Do not do that. I can tell you right now, do not.
Got his wife a floor buffer?
Yeah.
I mean,
my wife tells
this wasn't something your wife requested?
No.
That's
he just
like
thought of
her,
this.
He thought of this and thought it was a good idea.
It's kind of like getting her cleaning.
Then he found
supplies.
Out it wasn't.
Yeah, right up there with a vacuum cleaner.
Right. Those are guy decisions.
Hey, I'm not very, even I know not to do that.
Yeah, I got my wife a new mop and some floor rocks.
How does she tell her friends what her husband got her for? What did he get you, a massage?
She didn't have time to hang out with her friends. She's
you know,
too busy.
A cruise or some new clothes.
All right, now you guys are going to start getting me in trouble with my wife's family. Let's
He's done good
let's
so far.
Drop it and move on.
Okay. All right, well, Walker, Thanksgiving. Valentine's Day Eve, what are you going to be doing during our show today?
Well, we're Facebook
Besides
live-ing.
Besides texting your wife, tell her how much...
You love her.
Yeah, well, I try not to text right. too much, okay. But we're on Facebook Live, so you can go to our Facebook page, Today's Issues Facebook page, and watch the show.
Can you be Facebook Dad? Is there a Facebook Dad page?
Yeah, those are the people who aren't on Facebook.
Okay.
Yeah.
So Facebook, for Today's Issues, you can watch the show there.
Yeah.
And we're getting the cameras fixed where we can get
better angles.
Better angles.
So everybody's face.
Facebook Live there. You can comment on the program. If you want to as well. Fred Jackson, news director for American Family News, everything romantic himself.
Absolutely. But you're missing an important event today, the 13th.
I am?
Yes. One of the hosts of a program on this network. It's his birthday today. Dr. David Jeremiah.
Oh, I thought today. It was somebody here.
Somebody here.
No, somebody important.
Whoa.
Dr. Fred. David Jeremiah.
Today's his birthday, huh?
Today's, guess how old he is?
I'd say close to 80.
He is 76 today.
76.
And he is still pastoring. He spent 35 years at Shadow Mountain Baptist Church. And the pastor before him, trivia, at that church was?
Tim LaHaye.
You are right. You are right. Tim LaHaye.
And Tim LaHaye.
That church, over 50 years now, has only had two pastors, Tim LaHaye and Dr. David
Jeremiah.
That's
extraordinary.
That's a healthy church.
It is. It is.
Absolutely. Well, happy birthday to Dr. David Jeremiah.
Yeah, just a great preacher. I love his preaching.
I do, too. I like him a lot.
Absolutely. We've had him on this network a long, long time, and he's very, very popular with our listening audience.
In fact, there's another important fact.
What's that?
Related to American Family Radio. One of your sons proposed at a David Jeremiah rally.
Wesley.
And
Wesley.
It wasn't me.
It wasn't Walker. It wasn't Walker. It was my oldest son, Wesley, who proposed to his then fiance on, fiance that night at a David Jeremiah rally
in
front of 10,000 people.
Yes, I was there. I witnessed when your son proposed to his son.
You go on the internet and see that. I don't know what you type in. But,
yeah, what's funny is everyone asked me after that, so what are you going to do?
How are you going to
propose to?
How are you going
to
be?
How do you top proposing at a David Jeremiah rally with 10,000 people?
Yeah, I said I'm my own self. I'm not going to try to match that. So I proposed in my in-law's side yard, but I had a nice bench with some flowers.
I thought it may be a cool way to. If I had to go back and do it again, and I won't have a chance to, but propose would be to go to the beach. When you go to the beach.
Yeah.
And then have a plane come by dragging a sign. You know how you go to the beach?
That's never been in a romantic comedy or anything that you've ever seen. I've never seen that done.
Is that an original idea?
Is that cliche? I didn't know that was cliche.
No, was that
it was until he had mocked me and said it wasn't. Yeah, I thought I came up with it. Ed said it's done all the time. So I guess.
I thought you were going to say at a Mississippi State football game up on the big –
Jumbotron.
Well, if I were going to do that, I'd do it first quarter because you don't because you don't know how the game's going to go, and if people get sour at the end of the, they may start booing you.
Yeah, you might.
If you're losing to Alabama by four touchdowns, they're going to boo you.
And Allison might have said no.
Right, she might have said no. So, you know, you want to go with the first quarter.
Okay.
On that.
Before we move on, where did you and my mother go on the honeymoon?
We've never gotten anywhere to move on from. I don't know. But go ahead. Okay.
Where was your honeymoon location?
Honeymoon. Well, you know this already, Walker, and you're just asking me so you can make fun of me. It is Valentine's Day Eve. We're reminding people to remember your loved one tomorrow. And so we went to St. Louis, Missouri. On our honeymoon.
You're kidding.
Allison, my wife.
Well, what's wrong with that?
That's where my wife, that's where we went.
Seriously?
Different time.
Well, you know, it was just so funny because the Cardinals happened to be in town.
Oh.
And, I didn't plan it that way. We did not plan it that way, but the Cardinals just, and I'm a lifelong Cardinals fan, and so I wanted Allison to go and share the experience.
That worked out great.
With me.
Right.
You know, of going on our honeymoon. Staying at the Days Inn at the airport, $35 a night, in a car that barely got there.
Yeah.
But we were able to go see the Cardinals play.
That's weird. This is really weird.
Going to see the Cardinals play?
No. Oh. We stayed at a hotel at the airport as well.
St. Louis?
I was a poor Bible school student in Springfield, Missouri. We got married.
Wow. Seriously.
And I saw an ad in the paper.
Fred and I have never talked about this. This is something biblical.
This is history.
Coming together here, I think. I think there's a spiritual lesson here.
There is. Two nights, really good rate at the Hilton at the airport.
But moved to the Hilton?
Yeah.
We stayed in the Days Inn the whole time.
Well, we got a special deal. Okay. What can I say? So my wife knew I was a plane nut, an aviation nut.
Yeah.
So we get there and we get out of the car. And, of course, at the airport in St. Louis, they also build the F-18 fighter jet.
Hmm.
And we're getting out of the car, and this F-18 fighter jet just takes off and does a vertical acceleration like that. And she said, that's why you wanted to come here. Nothing to do with the honeymoon. You just wanted to see airplanes take off. You got me.
Well, I told Allison, you got the Arch. You know, you've got Six Flags. Mm-hmm. You've got the Bush.
It's a nice city.
I mean, you got the what do you call it, where the Clydesdales are, Grant's Farm. You got so much to do there. You know, the Cardinals, you want to see them. Go see the Cardinals play. It's okay.
I'm not going to talk about our honeymoon.
Okay.
I will say, we're poor college, Bible college students. We were, you know, we got married.
Both of you and Dan?
Okay. Yeah. Okay. Well, I was going to go finish my last year of Bible college in California after we got married. We went to Jackson, Mississippi for our honeymoon. For from Morton. Yeah.
What did you do there?
Well, we Red Lobster was the big.
Whoa, you took her to Red Lobster.
Yeah, listen, I was as broke as fill in a metaphor.
But y'all loved each other, right?
That's right.
You had love. You had no money. You had love.
Yeah, just I'll have the Caesar salad. That's it.
Sweetie, I'll let you have the lobster. I'll have the Caesar salad.
Oh, my word.
Extra crackers.
Well,
my goodness.
We were as poor as could be.
Okay.
That's the breaking news of the day.
The whole reason I brought this up 10 minutes ago was to remind everybody that tomorrow's Valentine's
right.
Day. Mm-hmm. You know, take care of your Valentine's Day gift today.
Yeah.
Don't make it an afterthought. I've never done that.
Nope. and no floor buffers.
Right.
No. Yeah, let's get off that subject. Yeah.
All right. So there you go. There's your reminder. It took us 10 minutes, but there's your reminder. What do you got in the news? Give us some good news on this Monday morning, Fred Jackson.
You want good news?
I do.
Here's some good news. Mr. and Mrs. Obama are back to work today. They are back from their vacation. If you may have seen the videos last week.
That's paragliding and
that's not good news, Fred. I'm just telling you that's not what I was looking for.
Well, wait till I tell you what their work is.
Okay.
All right. The work is basically they've hired somebody to farm the moat for speeches. Now we know what former President Clinton used to make per speech. What, $200,000?
I was gonna say $200 or $250, something like that.
You know, you can imagine. All that to say, I don't think there's going to be poverty in the Obama family.
No.
And Mrs. Obama is going to be at least starting off a judge on a cooking show. I'm not kidding.
Really?
Yeah. She's
good for her. I mean, she
seems good for TV.
She was very popular. I still think politics are in her future. She says no. She says absolutely not. And maybe, but she's such a popular speaker, crowds loved her.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
The Democrats loved her.
She has a good personality.
Yeah, but she's
good
never.
Personality.
I've never heard her articulate a policy position or in any kind of detail.
Mm-mm. Well, she was never, as far as I know, was never asked to. She raised her kid, raised the kids while her husband was president.
Yeah.
I'm just saying.
Yeah.
I could be wrong. I'm not betting.
You are correct. She's very popular.
And she was very much involved with nutritional issues.
Right.
You know, school lunch programs.
As am I.
All that sort of thing.
Yeah. So
write a book someday.
So Mrs. Former President Obama and Mrs. Obama are back from their post-inauguration vacation.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And
going to do speeches.
They're living back in Washington, a couple of blocks from Ivanka.
Yep.
Trump, I think.
Renting an ice house.
And so... You know, this is highly unusual. I don't know if it's been done in a long time that a former president is right down the street from the White House.
Mm-hmm.
Usually they move out. They go to Houston with George H.W. Bush. They go to...
Or they go where their home used to be.
Yeah, they get out of town.
In the Obama's case, it's Chicago. Who wants to go back there?
Right.
He did for his farewell speech, but not to live. But, I mean, usually they get out... Now, they've got some home. I guess they're going to go out to California or something for a home. I don't know when they're going to move out there. But anyway, I don't think it's symbolic that you leave town to make way for the new administration without seeming to be hanging on to your power or interfering with the new administration.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Not the case with – then they would say, President Obama would say, well, my girls got to finish school, and I guess that's fine. If that's the reason, you know. All right, what else we got?
A lot of people are speculating, along with giving speeches, and he got a book deal going, that former President Obama will also be still involved with politics. There is a lot of talk out there that he is going to work behind the scenes for the Democratic Party. He is still a hero.
He's already been.
That doesn't surprise me.
Yeah.
Well, if I were the Democratic Party, I'd say thanks, but no thanks.
We have Nancy Pelosi.
You have wrecked.
Yes.
You have wrecked our party. look at the numbers the last 8 years. Mm-hmm. So we'd appreciate it if you move on, President Obama, mm-hmm. and do your speeches and write your books. Yeah. But you've done enough damage to the brand. Do the numbers bear?
They don't lie.
Yeah.
Yeah, let's leave it to Elizabeth Warren and Nancy Pelosi.
Well, maybe bring him back.
he was the most smooth Democrat. I mean, he could, you know, he put on a show, no drama Obama. Mm-hmm. You know, he wasn't Elizabeth Warren out here yelling, violating Senate floor rules, you know, acting like a nut. Mm-hmm. He actually handled himself pretty well. And I think why they like him.
Yeah, of course he's far left, so that's where the party is today. Yes. I'm just saying, and maybe they by default they have no other leader, especially someone nationally known. I'm just saying it's been well documented over the 8 years President Obama was in office, the Democratic Party, out in the states mm-hmm. and in the Congress, was decimated.
Oh yeah,
was decimated. Mm-hmm. So
right.
Anyway, all right. What else?
The other story that's still out there has to do with National Security Advisor Michael Flynn.
General
Michael Flynn. And if you've heard the report starting last week that apparently sometime between the election and the inauguration, General Flynn had a conversation with a Russian envoy, and the report was that they talked about sanctions. And those are the sanctions that President Obama put in place because of spying on the election. That was the allegation.
And this was give me the time frame again when this – before the election?
No, this was between the election and the inauguration.
Okay.
That's what we hear.
Right.
The thing is, the Republicans at least the report first was a denial from General Flynn that any such – the sanctions topic did not come up.
Right.
Because there is an old law against that about discussing policy with a foreign entity.
Oh, before you're inaugurated.
Exactly. Okay. Now there seems to be some wavering on that perhaps, now we don't know who initiated the issue of sanctions, but perhaps it did come up. The story this morning is that the White House officials, through various interviews on the weekend, seemed to be backing away from any denials that General Flynn made those comments. So that's where we are. All of that to say, the stories that you're seeing this morning is that, you know, the left is smelling some blood here, that this could be the first firing of
The penalty? Trump. What is the – there is a law, you said, that forbids that?
I'm just looking through it here, that there is a law in the books that talks about not being negotiating with a foreign entity before you're put into an official position.
You know, this is where I don't know who knows what the facts of all that are.
Mm-hmm.
But this is where Hillary Clinton lowered the bar to nothing,
mm-hmm.
so that almost anything a government official does today that might be considered unethical or potentially a violation of, like Kellyanne Conway.
Correct.
Remember the other day,
right. mm-hmm.
from the White House press room saying, go buy Ivanka's shoes,
yes.
as she closed out an interview. It was kind of a throwaway line. Quite mm-hmm. frankly, I'm kind of surprised that they're making a big deal of that. That was, she was just being lighthearted, but mm-hmm. as if there's this real campaign
To build Ivanka's
brand. Yeah, if you watch the interviews, kind of the last thing she says as they're going to break, and kind of a funny thing. But you know, you can say whatever the person is accused of doing, in this case General Flynn, talking to the Russians about something before he was put into his capacity as – what is he
He's national security.
He's national security advisor.
You know, everything now is, okay, he did this, but at least he didn't do what Hillary Clinton did, put all our national security secrets at risk with a private server in the bathroom at her house.
Mm-hmm.
You see what I'm saying? Right. And then lied about it. Everything is almost seen through that.
I don't know what that, I'm interested to find out what the law, I didn't read a whole bunch about this over the weekend, but what the law says is the penalty for that. I mean, does it say?
It's illegal for private citizens to conduct U.S. diplomacy. I don't know what the law name, but that's what the law says.
Okay. I mean, I think if he did it, I mean, I think he should, you know, whatever the penalty is, you know, he should
resign.
I mean, we want the bar to be raised, certainly from Secretary Clinton. We want the bar to be raised. It's kind of hard to imagine Trump raising it, but that's what we would expect him to do.
President Trump,
yeah.
Well, you know, the funny thing about about that was, about Fred just read the law. The law reads, where'd you read the law?
It's illegal.
It's illegal for private citizens to conduct U.S. diplomacy.
Mm-hmm.
Well, this would be a classic example of President Clinton. It depends on what the word is means. Definition of the word is.
Mm-hmm.
By that, I mean, you know, you could say U.S. diplomacy. What is U.S. diplomacy?
Yeah, well, they would say, if you use the Hillary Clinton defense, they would say, well, what was his motives? What were his intentions? Was he intending to break the law? That's what they used.
And a private citizen, my question would be, how can a private citizen conduct diplomacy anyway?
Right.
See what I'm saying?
Well, I'm not condemning them. I'm saying, because I want to know what the law says. Yeah. Does the law define what diplomacy is? Does it define who a private citizen is?
Right,
I mean,
right.
you're talking about the national security advisor to be.
Right.
Is that really the same thing as me going over and
he's
telling
He's getting Putin? Ready to go into office within weeks.
Yeah.
And if he's talking to the Russians or somebody.
But if all that's spelled out and it's clear that he violated the law, then I say, I can't imagine what the law, maybe it's a fine, I don't know.
Yeah. Right, but, we'll find out.
Yeah.
But certainly President Trump does not need to lose General Flynn over something like this. I think they would fight this. But you know, we'll see what happens. You're listening to the radio program Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network, Tim with Ed and Walker. You can go to our Facebook Live, our Today's Issues Facebook page, and post your comments there. We're also, Walker, are you putting up articles there that we talk about?
Yes, thus far I've only posted about President Obama returning from vacation, but we haven't really discussed many controversial articles.
No, we try to shy away from controversy
here. And we did spend a lot of time talking about Valentine's Day.
Right, which is not controversial.
So you can post a picture of my wife and I when we got married or something.
Consider it done.
Hey, did the Grammys have any politicking last night?
Drama.
I didn't watch.
Yeah.
Me either.
Yeah, there were some comments made.
Well, and there was actually a singer who's immigrant who wore a dress that said "Make America Great Again."
Yes,
and her sales have skyrocketed.
Yes, there's that side, but then there was a singing number where they invited up some Muslim ladies with their headdresses on. So there was politics there, but there was this other singer, I guess it is, with a "Make America Great Again" or Trump on a trail.
Mm-hmm.
She's getting a lot of attention this morning.
You mean during the Grammys they brought up some Muslim women?
Yes.
Dressed in their... That is so bizarre.
It's a meaningless show.
Well, you knew how Islam treated women...
Right.
Yes.
Right.
And you were going to put them up on stage as if they're some kind of champion of women's rights... You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Yeah, exactly.
That shows you Hollywood half the time doesn't even know what they're talking about.
Right.
Huh?
Pure politics.
Try holding your Grammys celebration in a Muslim-dominated country.
Yeah, Lady Gaga with the dress that
she wears. See how that one goes for you as you celebrate diversity.
Yeah.
All right. We shall return momentarily with more of today's issues on AFR. Stay with us.
On the next Today's Issues.
Walker Wildman is handling our Facebook presence in the world.
Yeah, if you have a Facebook account, just type in Today's Issues in your search bar, and then our page will pop up. and you can watch the show there every day, or you can view all the articles that we talk about.
Right, but you can also be our friend.
Don't miss the next Today's Issues, weekday mornings at 11 Eastern, 10 Central on American Family Radio and on Facebook.
It is interesting that in our nation's capital, Washington, D.C., the first and last rays of sunlight fall every day upon its tallest building, the 555-foot Washington Monument. And there on its top, inscribed on the four-sided aluminum capstone, are the Latin words Laos Deo, which means praise be to God. This simple expression of praise reflects America's abiding belief that God has blessed our country with liberty and divine favor. Hello, everyone. Tim Wildman again. We're going to Washington, D.C., our nation's capital, for our spiritual heritage tours in June and September, and we'll see this Washington Monument. That's only one of the many monuments and places we'll see. Stephen McDowell of the Providence Foundation will lead the way as we talk about the places, the time, the events, and the people of our early American Christian heritage. For more information, visit the website spiritualheritagetours.com. That's spiritualheritagetours.com.
Hello, Americans. I'm Todd Stearns with this Fox News and Commentary next. Joy Villa made one heck of a statement at the Grammys last night. Miss Villa, a singer-songwriter, as well as a vegan and bodybuilder. Anyway, she walked down the red carpet wearing a Make America Great Again dress, a star-spangled ensemble with the word Trump spelled out on the train. By the way, the dress is not available at Nordstrom's or TJ Maxx. Sorry, fashionistas. It was a truly remarkable moment of diversity and inclusion, one that will surely land Miss Villa on the worst dressed list. Liberals suffered a near meltdown on Twitter, much of the vitriol too vile to share before you've had your first cup of coffee. But it's safe to say a good many Grammy watch parties were ruined by triggered liberals. I will say this about Miss Villa. She's got boxy. Either that or she's slap crazy. I mean, wearing a Donald Trump dress at the Grammys? That's like showing up at a PETA protest eating a cheeseburger. I'm Todd Stearns.
This is Today's Issues. Email your comments to comments@afr.net. Past broadcasts of Today's Issues are available for listening and viewing in the archive at afr.net. Now, back to more of Today's Issues.
We have a brand new idea here, as opposed to an old idea here. Ed just came up with it. We were talking about the celebrities. Jeremy Wiggins, by the way, is joining us. Good morning, Jeremy Wiggins.
Good morning, Tim, Ed, and Walker.
Tell us about Walker Wildman. Ed's over here, too, Jeremy.
I said Tim, Ed, and Walker.
Oh, you said Tim, Ed, and Walker. I misunderstood you. I thought you said Tim and Walker, thus ignoring Ed.
No.
Jeremy would never do that.
I would never ignore Ed. Okay. I hold him in such high esteem.
He harasses me frequently.
Yes, Ed is on my mind frequently.
So we were talking about the Grammys last night, which none of us watched, but we feel free to comment on. They had all these political comments about. Did you see any of that?
No.
About Trump, President Trump?
Somebody asked me yesterday. They said, there's an award show on. Do you know which one it was? I said, no.
I didn't watch. I don't watch the Grammys. So, but it's celebrities, a music. It's a music
celebrities
award.
Patting each other on the back and saying, with you're our awesome. Money. No, no, you're awesome.
But Ed and I have figured out what we do with these celebrities. I was telling them about one band that, of three guys, a new band. I don't know the name. But on the red carpet, one of them was wearing a jacket, and on the back it said "Impeach," and he was giving the middle finger.
Making an obscene gesture.
Yeah, giving the middle finger. So Ed and I were talking about creating an island in the Caribbean, if you want to, for stupid people. Or yeah, stupid celebrities.
Yes, and we were kind of riffing off the Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer. Remember the Island of Misfit Toys?
Yes, yes.
This would be the Island of Stupid Celebrities.
Yeah. Island of Stupid Celebrities where we can send these people.
Well, and if America's so horrible, then they should be glad to leave, right?
Right, and it is Caribbean. We're not sending them to Siberia or nothing brings ice flow up in the Arctic.
Nothing brings attention to your cause like a $6,000 jacket with some words scribbled on the back and flipping the middle finger. That shows dedication to whatever the issue is you care about.
Well, now that President Obama emptied Gitmo.
Almost.
There's a lot of
free vacancies.
There's a lot of vacancies down there.
No, but we don't want to put them in a prison detention facility. I like Walker's idea of a Caribbean island. You get coconuts.
It's their own country.
Yeah, their own country. Run it the way you envision and government.
Everything can be total liberal groupthink.
Right.
And they can rules. You could set up their own social media where it's self-contained, and they can have a platform to rant and rave.
Safe spaces everywhere.
Yeah, and free puppies for every person who comes.
Yes.
And there's no rules. Oh, except for now we do have one rule. No rules. So you
free
do
healthcare.
Have, yeah.
Yeah.
Free healthcare. Oh, yeah. I like it. I think we ought to.
Open borders.
Yeah.
So that anybody who wants to come in your island.
Well, that presents a little bit of a problem, though, doesn't it, for them? If it's just stupid celebrities, do you keep out smart celebrities?
I don't think how you can discriminate. That would be xenophobic.
It's no longer the island of stupid celebrities. Now it's open to everybody. I'm just saying.
We need to think through this.
Yes.
Before we institute our plan. All right, Jeremy, tell us about your radio program.
Airs Saturday mornings at 6 a.m. Central Time here on American Family Radio. You can also download the podcast at AFR.net. It's called In the Trenches. We're on Facebook, facebook.com/AFR In the Trenches.
In the Trenches with Jeremy Wiggins on American Family Radio. True?
That is true.
What do you got for us this morning, my friend?
Well, Tim, I know you dabble in the game of golf a little bit. What would you say is the most important club
that I
in
do.
Your bag?
The most important club in my
Mine's
bag.
Mine's the club sandwich.
I don't golf. That is not the answer he's looking for.
No.
Well, I would say everybody loves to hit the big driver.
The big stick.
But probably your pitching wedge.
Your pitching wedge. Well, yeah. a North Fort Myers resident named Tony Arts is saying that his Cleveland golf putter is the most important tool in his bag.
He's from where in Florida? What's his name?
His name is Tony Arts. He's a North Fort Myers resident, and his Cleveland golf putter is the most important.
Okay, why is that, Jeremy?
Because he used it to fend off a 10-foot alligator when he was playing through. Apparently, maybe he forgot to yell four. And he hit the alligator with the ball.
I read part of that story. He went over to get his ball near a pond in Florida. That's where alligators live.
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
Florida pond.
Big time.
And a 10-foot alligator came out of the pond, took him by the ankle.
Yep. And dragged him
and
in.
And started dragging him in the water.
Now, some people would say your initial reaction, there's a lot of initial reactions, but you would say, well, why wouldn't the golf course keep the gator free? Well, they move, and they can move pretty fast when they want to. So they have a tendency of just sneaking into places where they're not supposed to be.
But there's a good news ending to this story.
He lived.
He lived because he had his putter in his hand. He started beating the alligator over the head.
Classic.
Yeah, he started hitting it in the eye socket, and it let go of his foot just long enough for him to crawl out and run back to where his friends were.
And his buddies, he said, just arrived. And I'm thinking, that's a little slow on the draw, guys.
Let me ask you this. I know this is probably a moral dilemma we shouldn't tackle. But if you drive up and you see a 10-foot alligator and it's got got some guy by the leg or by the – are you going over there?
If you have an ounce of decency, you will go over there.
And a putter. If you have an ounce of decency and a putter, you'll go over there.
Sure,
okay.
I would.
So you go over there and put on the chance that the alligator, the 10-foot alligator, would let go of him and grab you instead. That doesn't bother you.
Oh, at that point, I would just raise him up out of the water and break his neck.
Since
Ed trained Crocodile Dundee.
I wanted to think of
people
that.
People don't understand that.
So while we're doing the hypothetical, I'm doing the hypothetical that I'm strong enough to pull the thing out and just break its neck.
They called him Alligator Vitagliano back in the day.
All right.
Now, I can tell you this. This was an older guy who got dragged in, and his friends were older. And you know how I knew right from the get-go? Because nobody whipped out their phone to film it while it was happening.
That's true.
There's no pictures on the internet.
I do think that I asked that question, but I do think it's one of those things that you don't stop and think about. It's kind of like a car wreck. You just get out and you go try to help.
Yeah.
and not thinking of the potential risk.
Yeah.
Well, this is a funny, it's a humorous story in a way.
It's funny because he lived and he's
this
okay.
Gentleman did live. He got away, lived to tell about it. So it didn't. He wasn't seriously injured, I don't think. The alligator mistook him for some, alligators don't eat humans. So they're looking
for. Well, they will.
No, they'll eat whatever they can get.
Yeah.
Their main target usually is not humans.
Right. No.
No, not unless you're. Right. They're looking for something like an animal.
The moral of the story is if your ball goes in the water, leave it
in Florida.
Well, and that's why whenever I go golfing, I bring a 45.
Right.
that is Ed's most important club in his
bag. Remind me not to go golfing with you.
Yes.
Why is Ed shooting into the water? Thought he saw an alligator.
What golfing buddy doesn't want to say that he saved his buddy? From the alligator, 10-foot alligator.
I know, but I'm just saying to you, don't tell me you're not.
It doesn't cross your mind.
When you're rushing at a 10-foot alligator, you don't just take it on by the jaws and say, let me help you, buddy.
And now I say I'm never going golfing near water with Tim. Because it's like, Tim's not coming. I'm sorry. I know somebody. Well,
did you guys see where my ball went? It went in the water. Let's just go on to the next hole.
I have been golfing in Florida and one other place, too, where they did have a sign, beware of, or, you know, you might see a alligator.
You just don't go up to near the – this guy was near the edge to golf, and it came out after him, so –
yeah, because they can, even though it's 10 foot, they can move pretty fast.
You're listening to Today's Issues on American Family Radio. Hey, we do have some serious good news coming up in about 5 minutes. We're going to talk about the Target boycott because, you know, Target decided let's see, how long has it been now?
Almost a year ago.
Target Corporation decided it would be a great idea if they could open up their women's bathrooms to men and their women's changing areas where little girls go and change clothes. They thought they would welcome men into those areas as well under the transgendered banner. And there was a huge backlash. We'll tell you what's happened in that time. We'll be joined by Breitbart's...
Warner Todd Huston, who writes for Breitbart.
Okay. Mm-hmm. What else? You got another story for us?
I do. This one is not a funny one. This is a serious one. This was put out by the Telegraph, which is a UK newspaper and online news source. But a new article that has appeared in the Journal of Medical Ethics says newborn babies are not actual persons and do not have a moral right to life. The academics also argue that parents should be able to have their baby killed if it turns out to be disabled when it is born. So we have officially, according...
Now, where is this? Who is this now?
This is the Journal of Medical Ethics is stating that newborn babies, we've moved out of the womb now. Mm. Newborn babies are not actual persons. The journal's editor, Professor Julian, director of the Oxford Euro Center for Practical Ethics, said the article's authors have received death threats, but it's entitled... After birth abortion, why should the baby live? And they argue that the moral status of an infant is equivalent to that of a fetus in the sense that both lack those properties that justify the attribution of a right to life to an individual. Rather than being actual persons, newborns are now considered potential persons.
This gets to where the name of an organization... What's the name of that organization?
Well, this is an article that has been published in the Journal of Medical Ethics.
Right. That name of that magazine is totally irrelevant now. They've turned full circle. So that magazine started to promote ethics.
Right, in medicine.
And now they're promoting non-ethics.
Now they're promoting murder.
Right.
Well, I mean, where else could this go? If you're going to say that an unborn child is not a person, and therefore has no rights, and you base that on the fact that an unborn child is not viable,
right?
Then why not go up to 2 years?
Yeah.
Well, you know, I mean, that's what the ancient pagans used to do, the Romans, and
you know, it comes back to without God, all is permissible,
right?
And when you can say from your moral worldview without God that killing a baby in the womb is okay. Once you have modified God's law and what God has to say and what the Bible has to say, It opens up the entire gambit. So you go from killing an infant in the womb is okay to killing a disabled adult okay. Killing a disabled child is okay. Killing anyone is okay as long as the, you know, the groupthink deems it to be not a person. And this is, you know, when you get back to the entire reason why Planned Parenthood was founded by Margaret Sanger was eugenics. She wanted to exterminate a certain ethnicity of the population of the United States. So she founded a group called Planned Parenthood. And it's no coincidence that today their biggest clinics are in minority neighborhoods.
Right.
And if, you know, but we get called crazy and we get called kooky because of these things. But I've got another story in the stack. It's just come out.
By the way, send me a copy of that.
I will.
That,
I will.
Article.
Live action, a new video has come out with Sue Thayer, who's a former Planned Parenthood manager in Storm Lake, Iowa, explaining that if her center met its quota for abortion referrals, employees would be rewarded with pizza parties, paid time off, and other rewards. This is not about health. It's like we're, you know, beating a drum here. It's not about health care. It's about killing babies for money. Well, that's what they're in it for.
Wow, absolutely. That's disgusting.
You know, the good news is that we have a pro-life president now and a pro-life administration. And I think we're going to have – we've already had some great pro-life victories just in the first couple of weeks with President Trump. And more to come, I think. So, so we're going to win some now, and I think President Trump will, and his administration, Attorney General Sessions. Now, doesn't that sound good to say? And others, we're going to see Tom Price, Health and Human Services Secretary. There's going to be some pro-life victories coming up.
I will say that does not mean though that we keep the pressure off. We need to, just like Tim with us with the religious liberty petition that's going up, is, you know, politicians have short-term memory loss, and we have to keep on them. So don't fall back into complacency.
Right.
You know, we still have to hold them accountable, and you know what, we still have to get on our knees.
Yeah,
and pray.
I'm just saying, I'd rather have somebody in the White House that's on our side than against us, and have a chance to succeed there. But you're right. We all these you always have to keep people in office, hold them to account. You're listening to the radio program Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. We have a Today's Issues Facebook page you can check out. We have an app for your smartphone or other mobile device. An app, American Family Radio, takes you 60 seconds or less to download it, and then you can listen to American Family Radio anywhere you want to go on your smartphone or anywhere in the world that has high-speed internet. So, and then we have the AFR page, AFR, American Family Radio. Walker, you want to welcome our guest now?
Yeah, we were talking about the Target boycott, and someone who is very familiar with this, who's been writing on this for almost a year now, it's Warner Todd Houston, who writes for Breitbart.com. Warner, thank you for coming on American Family Radio.
Thanks for having me, guys.
Yeah, you wrote an article, and you've been writing on this subject for 10 months now, since the Target boycott began. You wrote last week about Target's, they abruptly shut down some of their expansion projects. You want to tell us a little bit about that?
Yeah, you know how a lot of these retail outlets are struggling to find their way, you know, in this internet world. A lot of business is going to the internet, and a lot of these retailers are starting to try to create new types of stores that may, you know, take advantage of internet. Smaller front-end stores where they have a bigger warehouse in the back where Amazon-like, they can have people order and then just pick things up instead of a big shopping area.
Mm-hmm.
In any case, Target had several of these sort of projects that they had really touted as the new Target, the future of Target. They had several of these projects that they were working on and shut both of them down abruptly without any real notice to anyone. They're just boom, gone. And of course, they're explaining it away as the, you know, ebb and flow of business, but it seems that with their stock continuing to fall and their profits continuing to fall, it's hard to say that this was just the ebb and flow of business.
Let's remember back, by the way, Tim Wildman here. Thank you, Warner Todd, for being our guest.
Houston's how you pronounce his last name.
H-U-S-T-O-N.
Yeah, I had to ask him that.
Can we just call you W-T-H? is that a no?
That's funny, buddy.
Okay. Warner Todd Houston, our guest, H-U-S-T-O-N. We want to thank Warner and his team at Breitbart News for covering this issue when so many in the media have not.
Mm-hmm.
Where can people read your columns, your articles about this and other things, Warner?
Well, certainly on Breitbart. I write there daily, but it's very easy to just put my full name in Google, and you'll see a whole array of things I've written since 2001. Warner Todd Houston, H-U-S-T-O-N. That'll
okay.
do it.
All right, but let's remember back to, again, to remind folks what happened. It was in North Carolina was in the news, the state of North Carolina was in the news, their government primarily, because they passed a law stating that on state-operated grounds in the Tar Heel State that people must use the restrooms and changing areas and shower facilities that match their gender on their birth certificate. Short way of saying that is, if you're in North Carolina on state property, this didn't address private property. It didn't tackle that at all. It said that the law said boys go to boys' rooms, girls go to girls' rooms, same thing for showers, changing facilities.
Like we have been.
Since the dawn of civilization.
Yeah.
That's been the way it has been. So that's what happened. The whole world came down on North Carolina, who was, by the way, only reacting to what the city of Charlotte had done prior to them to try to break down the gender barriers. Then I think what happened was Target, the corporation, very liberal out of Minneapolis, decided, hey, we need to make a statement and take a stand on this issue in the public. And so let's make an announcement. This is Target now. Talking, let's make an announcement to the world that we think it's a great idea for men to be allowed into girls' restrooms in Target stores and into girls' changing areas. We think this is something we can get behind and think it'd be good for America. And so Target made that announcement to the world. I think Target thought, we'll pile on North Carolina. We'll get in there with Bruce Springsteen and everybody else and just pile on North Carolina. Bad North Carolina. Shame on you.
Right.
And so Target made their announcement that in their stores there was no, you know, anybody could use any bathroom or changing area they wanted to. Well, there was a huge backlash against Target. And American Family Association led the way there. We did. We announced a boycott of Target over this. And, Ed, I think it took, what, a week?
Took 7 days to reach 1 million.
Mm-hmm.
As near as I can figure, I did some checking. If somebody finds out to the contrary, please send it to me. Be very interested in this. As far as I know, that is the quickest trip to 1 million signatures that any boycott or any petition has mm-hmm. ever garnered. I think the closest was 10 days, some petition in France, I think it was. But it's neither here nor there.
That just shows you. That just shows you
the response.
That there were a lot of Americans who are sick and tired of this PC stuff, and they don't want. They don't. They decided if Target's going to let men into girls' bathrooms,
we're not going there.
We'll shop somewhere else. And so our guest today, Warner Todd Houston, wrote on this story, and I guess for Breitbart, and a lot of people wondered, would a boycott be effective or not? And financially, this has had a big impact on Target, hasn't it?
Well, it seems so. In April, when you folks had started your boycott, their highest stock price was around $83. And from that point forward, that was April 20th, from that point forward, it dropped precipitously down into the 60s, and then it's had a few highs and lows since then, but nothing near as $83 a share. and its lowest was $63 a share, and now it's at $73. So it really has never recovered these many months from April. We're close to a year now, and they haven't recovered. They had to spend some $20 million on their new bathroom facilities that they tried to backpedal with, saying that we'll make family-style bathrooms where you can lock the door and it's a single-person bathroom in some places. They've struggled all over the place to try to recover here. And this month, with that announcement that they're shuttering those big deal projects, it's obvious that they're just not recovered.
Mm-hmm. Warner, we're kind of running it to the top of the hour here. Let me just ask you this. You mentioned at the beginning of this segment that retailers are struggling. Many of them are trying to find their niche in an increasingly Amazon.com world. So why would companies like Target run the risk, and there's other companies too, why would they run the risk of alienating a sizable portion of their potential customers just for the purpose of saying, hey, look at us, we're politically correct?
Well, and that's just it. That has been the purpose, not business. Business has not been the purpose of any of these moves. Otherwise, you'd keep your head down, from some of these real controversial issues if it was just a business-related decision. Now, it's PCism. They want to be able to stand there and say, look at us, look how we are, look how great we are. It's not business-related at all.
Yeah. Well, this backfired on Target. I don't think they had any idea that 1.5 million families would be boycotting their stores. That's the ones that signed the petition. There's no telling how many people won't sign a petition, don't know about the petition.
Right.
I know some of these folks. You meet them out and you tell them Target, and they say, well, I'm just not shopping there anymore, with that kind of a policy. And that's I do know for a fact that a lot of stores who might otherwise change, I'm talking about household names, who might otherwise announce the same thing that Target did, decided not to after they saw the backlash against Target. This is an unforced error. This was what makes me know that they were trying to pile on North Carolina. Is you don't even if that is your policy, that is that men can go into women's restrooms and changing areas in your stores, you certainly don't go out and announce it to the world.
Right.
There's no point in that. Why do you want to just handle it on an individual case-by-case basis? There's no reason to announce to the world that you're doing something like this. And by the way, as we've said all along, your main problem with this is, with this kind of policy is, it puts women and young girls in particular in a very uncomfortable position in your stores. And because what happens is these perverts, come in, and they don't have to tell anybody that they feel like a woman today. There's no changing area policeman. They just come in there, and we've case after case after case of videotaping.
Yeah, the predators are taking advantage of the policy, the transgender policy. Or the voyeurs. Yeah, and they're taking advantage of it and going into
right. So it's a very uncomfortable position for women and girls to be in.
And we have stories like that on Breitbart all over the place, too. Yeah. I did one that was a roundup of 30 of these type of cases.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. So anyway, thank goodness that a lot of people are taking a stand on this. And Target's, the bottom line is the boycott has hurt Target financially. And it's demonstrated
right.
How about that?
Yeah.
With the numbers that's out there. Yeah. Especially their stock has taken a huge hit and hasn't come back yet. So, Warner, thanks so much for covering this. We appreciate it very much and appreciate you
being
on.
Thanks for having
me, guys. Okay, bye-bye. Walker, did you put...
Yes, I posted that to our Today's Issues page.
So go to our Facebook Today's Issues page and you can get the story about what we just discussed with Target. And you can go and sign our Target boycott pledge, right?
That's right.
At where? AFA.net?
AFA.net/Target.
We'll be back in 5 minutes. Stay with us.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast do not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.